We just heard Peter give a marvelous profession of faith that really was inspired by God himself. You are the Christ. But when Jesus starts explaining that as the Christ, he must be rejected, suffer, and die, Peter does not like it and voices his disapproval. So in turn, Jesus rebukes Peter with very strong words. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Human beings do not want to hear or believe that we will fail, that we will die, let alone that anyone we love will experience these things. And Peter definitely did not want, or did he believe, that the Christ who was supposed to save Israel would go through that rejection, suffering, and death. Not only does Jesus insist that his future includes these things, he insists that those who want to follow him must do the same, deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. In the spiritual life, the self has to die. We call it the ego, which always seeks to win, to be better than anyone else. The ego is selfish and wants to be superior. But when the ego dies, conversion takes place. We are able to become more Christ-like and put into practice what the Lord is asking us to do, especially his difficult teachings such as love your enemies. It is true that on a logical level, it does not make a bit of sense, just as the crucifixion of Jesus doesn't make sense. But Christ invites us into the mystery of transformation, that life on this earth comes at us at a deadly level. And by the grace of God, we do not have to do those things in return, because we are transformed people. Since it is the 20th anniversary weekend of the terrorist attacks of 9/11, I would like to share with you an excerpt of what Pope Francis said when he visited Ground Zero in New York during his apostolic visit to the United States in 2015 at an interfaith gathering. It really is a universal message that is the pathway forward for the flourishing of human life. And I can see that the Pope is giving us a message to deny ourselves, to take up our cross without using those words, because he ends by encouraging everyone to uproot from their hearts the feelings of hatred, vengeance, and resentment. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had none of those feelings on the cross, only love, mercy, and forgiveness. And so I quote our Holy Father. I feel many different emotions standing here at Ground Zero, where thousands of lives were taken in a senseless act of destruction. Here, grief is palpable. The water we see flowing towards that empty pit reminds us of all those lives which fell prey to those who think that destruction, tearing down, is the only way to settle conflicts. It is the silent cry of those who were victims of a mindset which knows only violence, hatred, and revenge, a mindset which can only cause pain, suffering, destruction, and tears. Having met family members showed me the other face of this attack, the other face of their grief, the power of love and remembrance. A remembrance that does not leave us empty and withdrawn. The name of so many loved ones are written around the tower's footprints. We can see them, we can touch them, and we can never forget them. Here, amid pain and grief, we also have a palpable sense of the heroic goodness which people are capable of, those hidden reserves of strength from which we can draw. In the depths of pain and suffering, you also witness the heights of generosity and service. Hands reached out, lives were given. In a metropolis which might seem impersonal, faceless, and lonely, you demonstrated the powerful solidarity born of mutual support, love, and self-sacrifice. No one thought about race, nationality, neighborhoods, religion, or politics. It was all about solidarity, meeting immediate needs. It was about being brothers and sisters. This place of death became a place of life too, a place of saved lives, a hymn to the triumph of life over the prophets of destruction and death, to goodness over evil, to reconciliation and unity over hatred and division.